Hello, my name's Scott. You're listening to The Joys of Teaching Literature. We're talking about all ways to make your teaching life easier, to really enjoy what you're doing, to find passion and start every day with a sort of positive attitude, where obviously there's a lot of things that make teaching hard. But in the end, we have children in our classrooms that are really eager to learn about the world. And we're talking also about high school English. I also sort of dabble in teaching in general. And so this week we're talking about, I might be jumping the gun on this one a little bit, but we're talking about next year. So this one I'm calling Five Musings for Next Year. I think there was a couple of warm days in there, and maybe because I'm itching for this year to be finished. I actually really look forward. People always ask me when I tell my teach seniors that, you know, what's the spring like teaching, you know, second semester seniors. And it's interesting because I kind of like this time of year. My students just took their AP exam this week, and so that's out of the way. And so I feel like it's a time where, yeah, I'll squeeze in a short novel. We're doing Exit West right now to end of the year. We're on Kite Runner, but then we'll do Exit West. So, and I know a lot of schools are probably wrapping up at the end of May, early June. In New Jersey, we go more toward the end of June, with the snow days and everything else. But just thinking about, you know, also I think it's a time for a lot of teachers to kind of think about their summer, what their plans are for the summer, you know, whether it be a job that you have or if you have time off work. It's always good, I think, to sign up for some kind of professional development. I know my district, we have a sort of summer institute, they call it, where teachers lead different professional development sessions and you can sign up for different topics. So there's usually like sort of catalog that you can pick from. But, you know, obviously online professional development now, I think it's a good time to start thinking about. And I know a lot of districts will pay for professional development if it's something that the, you know, your supervisor will support, or the state, you know, wherever you get your funding from. Maybe it might be your state Department of Education, wherever it is, they might, you know, actually fund professional development for you for free. And I offer online professional development. My website's theteachersworkshop.com, and it's self-paced, so you can take all summer if you want and just kind of relax and just press reset. And you can do it from anywhere. Actually, I just had a student take my course and tell me that I didn't even know you could do this on the website's Teachable. That's where I run my courses. And I guess you can download my lectures into audio form. You know, it's a screencast, so you can see, I open up these different files and different things I show you, and you can download those files too, so you can have them for your own use in your classroom. So I didn't even actually think of it as an audio kind of course, but that's what he said. He downloaded the MP3 files, and so he would just listen to it on the way to work or when he was working out at the gym. So I thought, oh, that's I didn't even know you could do that with Teachable. But I did know that, you know, you could have it, you can put it, there's an app on your phone, so you could take my course through the app. And so, yeah, in theory, you could kind of just either watch or listen to it wherever you are, and taking a train somewhere, or, yeah, if you're on a long drive somewhere, you can kind of listen to it, or obviously not watch it if you're driving a car. But, yeah, so that's sort of why I'm talking about next year with this one, just because maybe this is the time of year that you're thinking about, you know, what kind of professional development that you're going to do in the summer. I think with this year, yeah, it's good to think about all the adjustments we've made, especially last year, but this year I think was another year of adjustments as far as meeting the needs of our kids, to try to keep them engaged and interested in learning, despite everything that's going on. You know, they might be out of school for a week because they're quarantining or whatever. It's important to know what our challenges were, and as well, because there are obviously many challenges. But if we stay focused on the positive, next year will be much better. And if you think about it, we were talking about this the other day at work. We spend a lot of time in school. You know, when you really calculate it and think about even just commuting time and time in school, most of your day is, I guess the old union rule is 8 hours of work, 8 hours of leisure, and 8 hours of sleep. So it's at least half of your day. You know, that's if you're not lesson planning or grading or doing something extra, but even just preparing to get to work, making your lunch and dinner and commuting and all that jazz, you know, working is a big part of your day. And so I think it's really important. And of course, you know, you have a degree to kind of set you up for success in the classroom. But I think it's worth taking time to reflect on how to keep things fresh with new ideas and approaches. And I know, you know, at a certain point in your career, I think first 5 years, even 10 years, somewhat of a struggle to just understand the literature on a deep level, understand what it would takes to make a great activity. Teaching is really an art form. And I think that at some point after that 10-year mark, maybe we've sort of hit autopilot and, you know, we have these really good activities. We got rid of the bad ones. We started doing good ones. We sort of know what ones are good that we'll be able to plug in different places. And so we kind of go on autopilot a little bit. And I think it's good to sort of hear other people's ideas, whether that be through the internet or a blog, website, just talking to your colleagues to get new, fresh ideas, whether that be to update the curriculum or just, again, have some new activity or kind of assignment that makes things interesting for you, makes things interesting for your kids, so it doesn't feel like they know. They're able to read adults really well, definitely teenagers. I mean, I think kids of all age, and they know if we're on autopilot, if we've taught this book for a long time. And actually, that's why I like teaching new books as much as I can. I'm lucky to be in a district that really encourages us to teach different literature from year to year. So, because that, I think, keeps things fresh, and it keeps things where I have a lot of questions about the book and they have a lot of questions about the book, and we sort of navigate the book together, and that can be an exciting process. It can be a challenge too, to lesson plan all that, but I think it's really important just to kind of think about how it is we can keep ourselves happy doing what we do for a living and not make it just some way to earn a living. So I have five sort of little pieces of advice, tips, goals for next year. So the first thing is, don't take work home. It's really, if you're not there yet, you know, I learned over the years different strategies. Like, you know, one thing I started doing was bundling assignments together. So instead of grading assignment after assignment after assignment, you have to enter in every grade, and you of course get questions about, oh, can I turn that in, and you have to go back and update that grade. And then you get this long string of grades where you look online and see grade. It doesn't really make any sense. So like, how many of these assignments can we bundle together so it's easier to organize, so that they're more mindful of keeping track of it and that sort of thing? So little things like that in my course, I go over more sort of techniques. In particular, I have a course for non-English teachers, but I teach English myself. And so big part of my challenge is giving feedback on essays. So I learned how to give verbal feedback, not just written feedback. So that enables me to cut down on the amount of time I spend writing out long commentary. So I have a system where I really go through essays really quickly, and I'm able to return them very quickly, and I'm able to assign more work more frequently, which is good. This practice is really good. This supervisor once told me your students should work harder than you. Yeah, that's really important to remember. So we shouldn't ever feel like more stressed and more overworked than our students. They're the ones that are learning. And it's also just a great feeling when you walk out of the building, breathe in the fresh air. You know, I know my time is my own. And that's important, because it's, you know, our life is more important than our work. Our work is important, but our life is more important. So it's good to walk out the door and know that you can go live your life. It's crazy to say that, because there's a lot of years I worked where that wasn't true at all. I spent Saturdays in the library grading papers, and yeah, so that's important. Number two is to create meaningful projects. Projects don't have to involve, whenever I introduce a project to my kids, I always say, like, look, this is not going to involve time outside of school. Again, you don't want to, you yourself don't want to bring a lot of work home. We don't want to have projects where it's just more light, you know, more and more work on top of, say, the novel that they're already reading at home or whatever it is. You don't want anything extra to grade too. So that's, you know, I just said, don't bring work home. So this is not, a project shouldn't be something where you're grading a lot. If you are grading, it's a simple thing to do. But my projects are really a time to link the literature to the modern world. So whatever it is that you're teaching in your class, the ability to sort of take a step back and just think about how it relates to the world. And this is a huge part of inspiring them to do well in the regular sort of run-of-the-mill stuff in your course, because if they understand the meaning of it and the place it has in the world, then they're going to be more likely to actually do the work in the class, to, you know, little handouts and homeworks that you have. And those will have more meaning because they'll understand that in a greater context. Projects are also an opportunity for students to learn on their own. So instead of saying, we're going to learn X, Y, and Z, you just kind of, you know, give them a little bit of direction here, you know, pick a topic, or here's a topic, go find something online, here's a couple of different websites related to your field. And then, of course, by the end of the project, they should make something visual, or maybe a podcast in my case, but I think podcasts can work at any, you know, for any subject area. And then videos as well. I mean, think about Khan Academy, think about YouTube. There's videos in every field out there. So, and that's something they can share, not just with the essence of project-based learning, is that they're sharing it not just with their teacher, but with their friends and family too. Number three is have fun and be yourself. To build positive relationships, we don't need to be friends with everyone. We just have to get students excited to enter our classroom. That means laughing, telling stories, and digressing to interesting topics. This is a big part of being happy at work, is not feeling like we're always stressed, not feeling like there's some deadline we have to meet. If we're stressed, they're going to be stressed, right? So we have to be able to have regular conversations, be able to laugh about things. Teaching is all about immersion. How can we be passionate about what we teach? How can we be reflections of the exciting and changing universe we inhabit? How can we help students experience the excitement of uncovering the truth? So we want to make sure that we have that, you know, part of my course is exploring how we can be ourselves, and how teaching is a bit of a performance, but it's also sort of, this is an oxymoron, but it's an authentic performance. It's a performance where you can really be yourself and get excited about what you teach. Number four is prioritize creativity and freedom. Students will never get excited to learn if they feel like they are on the receiving end of every assignment and activity. They should feel like school is an adventure where they can choose to what to watch, listen to, or read, or what to create, like an adaptation of a short story, a poem, a short story, a video, or a collaborative graphic. So that's, you know, should be a big part of what we do as well, too, is the emphasis on not just interpretation and analysis, but also creativity, and just saying, you know, there's no rules here, go create something fun. You know, I had a satire project once where they had to poke fun at something with the intention of improving human behavior. That was really fun. So just finding ways to allow students to have that kind of freedom in class, I think, is really important. Number five is, mentioned this already, is experience PD with practical professional development with new ideas. I'm always inspired. I listen to a lot of different podcasts and read a lot of different blogs. And I always get really inspired by what I see going on in classrooms across the country. In addition to the conversations that I have with my colleagues to help me keep my curriculum and pedagogy fresh and new. I'm always reading books because of recommendations of other people. So that's not something that I do on my own and just go read 1,000 books, right? I have people suggest different books, or I really like you to know what you think about this one particular text, and so I go read that book. So that's how we keep our, and every summer we have a book club where we read 5 or 6 different novels, and so that's another way we keep our curriculum up to date. And then pedagogy too, you know, that's always something I think that's worth thinking about to get ideas. The pandemic showed us that you don't need to get in a car or pay a bunch of money to have someone come to your school and lead professional development, right? You get a lot for free or pay for courses. Again, I have the teachersworkshop.com is where I offer my courses. You can get, again, downloadable resources. There's Teachers Pay Teachers. And in my course, too, there's personalized ways to interact with the presenter. So you can, I sort of ask questions. You can respond to those questions, and then you can see other teachers and how they responded to the questions too, so you can get more ideas from seeing other teachers' responses to the questions that you're answering, in addition to getting my feedback and all that. I did a blog and a podcast once about my favorite ELA podcasts and blogs, and there's a list of, I don't know, I think there's like 30 different websites and blogs and podcasts that I listed. You can find that on my blog. So there's no shortage of ways to get really great new ideas. Going to school is like driving. Kids go from sitting in a car seat to sitting in the passenger seat, where they can get a better view of what we're doing in the driver's seat. Eventually, they learn to drive with someone guiding the way, pointing out the dangers and how to be courteous, but also showing them all the exciting places they can go, the limitlessness of roads, how they can show us what exists and what could be. Eventually, they have to take the skills they've learned and go on their own. Thanks for listening. And if you can, give me a review on wherever it is that you where you listen to your podcasts. Thanks.